It's 7:45 on Breakfast, and as I mentioned, Cabinet Minister Anthony Albanese is a senior government strategist and Labor's leader of the House, and he was one of the select few who knew Labor's date with the people. Minister, good morning. Welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Whose idea was it to go early with this September date?
This was the Prime Minister's idea. She raised it with me last Wednesday. I was in Canberra, and asked me what I thought, and I wanted a bit of time to think about it. It's a bold move. I talked to her again last Thursday, and then I talked to her on Tuesday again in Canberra.
And what did you think?
I supported it. It's a bold move, but the fact is we had said in writing that the election campaign would be on September or October. The footy finals means that in reality is early September or mid-October. If we had have waited to mid-October, then people would have been clamouring once we got close to the August date of 3 years since the last election. It could potentially look as though the government was trying to avoid an election. So really, there were only, in my view, two realistic dates. Why not get it out there? The fact is that the opposition leader has been getting equal time, but he's been getting equal time without the scrutiny. He's got vague promises out there, frankly, that don't add up, like his Pacific Highway promise. He's been able to get away without proper scrutiny, and this will, I think, change that game and also avoid annoying questions from people who I respect and like yourself, Fran, who every time I talk to would say, are you going to have an early election? Do you think you'd go full term? Well, this government has gone full term. We are getting on with the business of governing, and we can do that now without every time we make a statement. I'm going to Perth today to go about the business of government, looking at the Great Eastern Highway. We're beginning tomorrow construction on the Gateway project. That can be done as a normal part of government rather than, does this mean you're calling the election?
Sure, but I'm sure pesky questions from journalists was not the key motivator. You say, why not? Others in your party, according to anonymous comments in the media over since the PM made this announcement, is why. Some are horrified that you would give, the Prime Minister would give away a tactical advantage.
But there is no advantage, Fran. That's the point. It was always going to be the first Saturday or the second Saturday.
Well, not necessarily. You could go from August.
Why not? No, we couldn't, because we had a written agreement saying we would go in September or October.
Ah, yes, written agreements, though, have been worked around before.
We'd already made that announcement, and in terms of when the election's called to avoid having to have a separate Senate election in 2014, the election had to be called after July. So, you know, there were very few dates. If that agreement wasn't there, yes, you could go late August. But really, you're talking about a week here or there.
Okay.
There's nothing surprising about it.
Just another process question. Are you comfortable? Were you always comfortable that some outside the party, the key independents, Greens leader Christine Milne, were told before Labor MPs found out?
Well, look, Fran, you know that never has a Prime Minister who's always had the prerogative of the date of calling an election gone and consulted hundreds of people about election dates. Normally what happens, of course, is they go to Yarralumla and people find out when the car's on the way to Yarralumla. This is a normal process. What the Prime Minister has done here, though, is to stop the speculation. There have been articles after articles in the paper during the end of the quiet season here in the lead-up to Parliament sitting next week, debating when the election would be and putting forward the various formulas. What this enables us to do is to concentrate on the business of government.
You say, you've said already, and the Prime Minister made it clear yesterday, she wants to concentrate on the business of government, but this is also a move to make sure scrutiny heads towards the coalition. You don't think that there's been enough scrutiny yet on the coalition's promises and how they would fund those promises. And Joe Hockey has made it clear the bulk of coalition policies won't be unveiled until the pre-election economic update, PFO, is released during the official campaign, just as Labor has done in the past. How can the coalition draft its policies with full costings without knowing the true state of the budget? Is that a fair point?
Of course they can, and they can even get some of the substance right. I use the example of the Pacific Highway. I mean, Tony Abbott did a little stunt driving down the Pacific Highway during the summer break.
Where he committed to funding an upgrade.
But the money isn't there. He said the money would be available immediately from the contingency reserve. It's not in terms of other funding that he seeks to reprofile. He said there'd be a bypass in Coffs Harbour. 2 hours later, his local member had to ring up the journalist and say, no, it doesn't include the Coffs Harbour bypass. And that escaped proper national scrutiny. Tony Abbott and Joe Hockey are policy lazy and policy lightweight.
Well, just as you might hope this attracts scrutiny of their policies, but they're also using it as a way to put, they say, scrutiny on what the government plans to do. Joe Hockey earlier this morning said the Prime Minister yesterday foreshadowed tax increases in the May budget. Let's have a listen.
Six or seven paragraphs were about how Australia is not paying enough tax, and this is a problem that the Western world has to face. So now the government, the Prime Minister, is saying Australians aren't paying enough tax, we're going to have further tax increases in the May budget. Well, friend, you tell me what they are. Because if you're going to try and find $15 billion a year to fund the Gonski Review and the National Disability Insurance Scheme, this government is going to end up taxing middle Australia.
Is that what you're going to do, tax middle Australia?
That's an example, Fran, of the point that I'm making. You just spoke about the Prime Minister's speech at the National Press Club and played a quote of Joe Hockey with his polemic and his nonsense and his verballing. That's the problem we have here. In terms of equal scrutiny, so-called, you have on your program, as do other commentators, equal time between the government and the opposition. For the only place that we have not got equal time is on the programs like Late Line and 7:30 and some of the Sunday programs where the coalition tend to avoid going on those shows. So, and that's fair enough. I'm not critical of that, but now there'll be a different perspective. You won't have that sort of getting away with that sort of nonsense, or we'll call it out, frankly, for what it is. Have a look at what the Prime Minister said yesterday rather than what Joe Hockey said that she said.
Anthony Albanese, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Bran.
Anthony Albanese is Transport and Infrastructure Minister, leader of Labor in the House. He's also a member for the seat of Grainler in Sydney. And the latest polling have shown that there's a lot of pressure on Labor seats in Sydney, and some suggest the election will be won or lost in that state, in the state of New South Wales and the city of Sydney. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 7 minutes to 8.